There are many ways to describe reactions to the deaths of Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, and other victims of police violence. But one four-letter word has surfaced time and again: rage. Specifically, black rage from African Americans fed up with violence targeted at unarmed members of their community. But Emory Professor Carol Anderson says this focus on black rage misses the point.
Amadou Diallo was mowed down in a hail of NYPD bullets on February 4, 1999. 41 bullets were fired into the West African immigrant, 19 of which hit their target. But what left me truly stunned was the clinical, antiseptic policy rationale espoused by New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. The mayor glibly and confidently spouted one statistic after the next on the news show Nightline to demonstrate how the NYPD was the, quote, most restrained and best-behaved police department you could imagine. But restrained and behaved police don't fire 41 bullets at an unarmed man. He touted policies that had reduced crime in New York and dismissed African Americans' concerns about racial profiling, stop and frisk, and police brutality as unfounded. Instead, he countered that the real issue was the, quote, community's racism against the police and unwillingness to take responsibility for the issues plaguing their neighborhoods. I didn't know what to call it at the time. What to name the unsettling and disturbing performance by Giuliani that I had just witnessed. 15 years later, I experienced that same feeling, although the circumstances this time were somewhat different. In August 2014, Ferguson, Missouri went up in flames, and media commentators served up variations of the same story. African Americans, angered by the police killing of an unarmed black teen, were taking out their frustration in unproductive and predictable ways, rampaging, burning, and looting. Framing the discussion, dominating it, in fact, was an overwhelming focus on black rage. With so much attention focused on the flames, everyone had ignored the logs, the kindling. That led to an epiphany. What was really at work here was white rage. White rage is not about visible violence, but rather it works its way through the courts, the legislatures, and a range of government bureaucracies. It wreaks havoc subtly, almost imperceptibly, too imperceptibly, certainly for a nation consistently drawn to the spectacular, to what it can see. White rage doesn't have to wear sheets, burn crosses, or take to the streets, working the halls of power. It can achieve its ends far more effectively, far more destructively. The trigger for white rage is black advancement. It is not the mere presence of black people that is the problem. Rather, it is blackness with ambition, with drive, with purpose, with aspirations, and with demands for full and equal citizenship. It is blackness that refuses to accept subjugation, to give up. A formidable array of policy assaults and legal contortions has consistently punished black resilience, black resolve. The truth is, white rage has undermined democracy, warped the Constitution, weakened the nation's ability to compete economically, squandered billions of dollars on baseless incarceration, rendered an entire region sick, poor, and woefully undereducated, and left cities nothing less than decimated. All this havoc has been wreaked simply because African Americans wanted to work, get an education, live in decent communities, raise their families, and vote. Because they were unwilling to take no for an answer.
That was an excerpt from Carol Anderson's new book, White Rage: The Unspoken Truth of Our Racial Divide. She's a professor of African American Studies at Emory University.